Hi, I'm Damian McGee, and welcome to episode 9 of the VA Palo Alto podcast. Today, I have Dr. Pearl McGee with me. Dr. McGee, what's your official title?
I am a clinical psychologist with the National Center for PTSD Dissemination and Training Division.
Perfect. Okay. So today we're going to talk about PTSD. We're going to talk about how that plays into treatment of veterans, what's coming out of the National Center for PTSD. And I know the National Center has 7 divisions, and you said that you work in the Dissemination and Training Division. But for those who don't know, what exactly does that mean? What exactly is your office responsible for?
My center is actually the Dissemination and Training Division. Okay. So we're responsible in part for PTSD research and then also in getting the information out there, training providers and the public, providing materials and information on how to get that research into practice to improve care for veterans.
Okay, nice. I like that. Now, before we dig too far into PTSD, I guess what's kind of your background? How'd you end up working either with PTSD, with veterans? Is there a veteran tie for you, or is this just something you enjoy doing?
So I have veterans in my family. Okay. But it started in grad school, really, just doing practicum placements in the VA. Just sort of fell in love with the environment, with the veterans, with providing effective care. And it was just a really rewarding experience to get to work with this population. At that point in time, the OIF conflicts were just taking place, and to see the emergence or resurgence of PTSD and returning veterans, it really kind of ignited a passion for me in providing care for this population. Okay. How I landed at the National Center for PTSD really was actually through a project that I took on just as a temp. So I got I got signed on to a limited position working, or a time limited position, working on veterans employment resources. So okay. At that point, there was funding to improve veterans employment resources, getting veterans hired, educating employers about veterans and veterans with PTSD. You know, they're not all violent or angry, or kind of countering those stereotypes. Prior to that, I had worked as an employee assistance civil servant at NASA at Edwards Air Force Base. And so I had a lot of experience working with employers and working with folks that are associated with the military, and sort of bridging those two interests, I landed at the National Center. And then from there, I just, more opportunities kept coming my way. And I had the chance to start leading something called the Practice-Based Implementation Network, which is actually a collaboration between our center in VA and the DOD. And we run projects to try and get best practices into the hands of providers. You know, historically, it can take 17 or some estimates of up to 20 years for a practice to be recognized in the research as effective and evidence-based, and for the field to actually pick it up and for providers to actually start using it regularly. So we really are focused on speeding up that process and developing relationships with providers in VA, finding out what the barriers are to implementation, and learning how we can facilitate change.
Okay. And so you're dealing with a collaboration like that with the DOD, is part of that maybe trying to help veterans or actually help service members when they're still on active duty kind of adjust to experiences before they come off of active duty and before they become veterans? Or does that play a role in that at all?
There are some folks doing that work right now, especially working with the transition and getting members of the military who are leaving the service into VA care who might need it.
Okay.
We're more looking at treatment settings in the military and treatment settings in VA, and kind of using each other's knowledge to share across departments.
It's part of your research to get better information.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, I don't want to, I guess I jumped ahead and assumed that there's a common understanding of PTSD, and I know in our world we talk about it all the time, but there's still a lot of misconceptions and misinformation. Can you kind of briefly tell us, from where you sit, what is PTSD? Is it something that's curable? You mentioned kind of some of the stigmas. You know, what's just generally what is PTSD and what should people know about it?
Sure, yeah. So whenever somebody experiences a trauma, a disaster, an assault, it's common to have this sort of common set of reactions, sort of re-experiencing, having nightmares or flashing back to the incident, numbing or avoiding feelings. There's also sort of hypervigilance or being on edge or alert, as well as negative changes in mood or thoughts, sort of feeling down and thinking badly about yourself, the world, and others. Right. And for most people, those symptoms subside over time. And everyone's different. But for some folks, those symptoms can persist and people can become stuck in avoidance and in re-experiencing and in this cluster of symptoms. And to answer your question, PTSD is a cluster of symptoms. It is a medical, psychological, psychiatric diagnosis. Okay. And the criteria for it are a mixture of sort of what I just described. Right. It is curable. We actually have good evidence for some gold standard treatments that are recommended and used in VA. And those include prolonged exposure, cognitive processing therapy, and something called EMDR. And so those are some of the treatments that have been shown to work really well and are being recommended in VA and DOD.
Okay. So there's two things you said that I wanted to kind of touch on. I think it's very important for the conversation for people to realize that in what you said and the way you started that was people who've encountered an assault, people who've encountered any type of traumatic experience.
Or combat,
Or combat. And I think what happens in the conversation is you hear PTSD anymore and it's automatically an association with veterans. Mm-hmm. But PTSD is far outside of the veteran community and has existed before the veteran community kind of held on to it. Right? I mean,
absolutely.
It's bigger than us.
Well, if you think about all of the community disasters we've had in our recent past with school shootings and and fires and natural disasters and hurricanes, of course, those things are likely to trigger post-traumatic stress reactions.
Right. Okay. No, and then you did say it's curable, which is interesting because I didn't know whether it was or not. So when you talk about PTSD treatment in a clinical environment, it's not a coping thing. Are we looking to cure it, or is it a coping, or is it both? Is it either? How does that work?
So what I tell veterans when I treat them is that you can get better. This treatment is effective. Not everybody responds in the same way.
Right.
Even if your symptoms go away completely, which is our hope,
right.
It's not that you forget the trauma or that the trauma happened. You know, that will be a memory that's with you.
Right.
For many people, recovery entails ongoing self-care, even after a successful round of treatment, just as for anyone. If we encounter stress in our lives, you know, we need to use our coping skills and need to practice self-care to sort of maintain the progress that we've made.
So what would you say to maybe families of service members who might be listening? How do you, so I'm a Marine Corps veteran, did 12 years myself, and there are times where I feel myself kind of being overly critical or sensitive to people saying, oh, that's PTSD. And you're mm-hmm. just like, not everything is PTSD, right? But I also don't want to undermine the fact that it might actually be PTSD, and I'm not clinically qualified to say it's not. Sure. So for either people like myself or even family members of actual veterans, is there a way... And not veterans, for family members of people who've experienced something traumatic, is there a way for them to maybe look at a situation or actions of their loved ones and say, that might be PTSD versus that's not PTSD? Or, you know, what would you tell them? What should they do?
Yeah, well, I would tell them that if they are concerned, that they should encourage their loved one to seek professional help if that if that's a, an option for them or they're open to it. We do have a number of what I think are really great resources, both on our website, which is ptsd.va.gov. We my team has also created a number of mobile apps. So as you're speaking about family, I'm thinking of two apps in particular. One is PTSD Coach. And the other one is PTSD Family Coach, which was designed for loved ones of people who may be suffering from post-traumatic stress symptoms. And in those apps, there's just a ton of information about symptoms, about experiences of people who experience PTSD. There's a self-assessment option, so you can kind of go through and see if you're experiencing some symptoms that are consistent with a diagnosis of PTSD. Of course, you don't want to self-diagnose or diagnose someone just using a checklist or an app, but it can be informative for people. And if they're ambivalent about care or about seeking treatment, it may be just bring them one step closer.
Right.
And it can kind of help to normalize what they're experiencing as well.
Now, are these apps, are they only for veterans? So let's say my house burned down and I'm wondering if my family has PTSD, or for women who may have been victims of some type of assault. Do these apps apply to them, or is it only for the veteran community?
They apply to anyone. So they were designed by VA, by National Center for PTSD, specifically for with veterans in mind. So there is some veteran-oriented content, which we think is important. Okay. But you know, they're free. They have information that's applicable across populations. And the other thing that I think is a real benefit is that the VA has really strict privacy standards, so these apps aren't collecting identifiable data or right. selling your information or right. anything like that.
So people can feel very comfortable that if they're putting stuff in here, it's not going
anywhere. It's just staying on their phone.
Right? Okay. And those apps are at the ptsd.va.gov site.
Yes, and you can, if you own an iPhone yes. or an iOS device, you can find them in iTunes or the App Store.
Okay.
And if you own an Android device, you can find them in the Google Play marketplace.
Okay. I will make sure that we put that in the show notes so people know where to find them.
Sure.
You said when you first started, one of your projects had to do with employment and veterans and employment. And so PTSD obviously has a stigma. And so I feel like in some way we're in this weird world where we're kind of battling ourselves is we want veterans to be comfortable with saying they have PTSD, if that's mm-hmm. the case, or at least be open to the idea that that may be what they're experiencing. But we also have instances in society in which the term PTSD scares people. And I don't want to hire that person that has PTSD, and I don't want to date that person that has PTSD, or whatever the case may be. What would you say to especially employers about a veteran that comes in, seems super qualified for a position, but on their thing writes, I suffer from PTSD, or I have medical appointments at the VA. What should those employers know about PTSD and about veterans who may experience PTSD?
I would want them to know that PTSD does not equal violence. I think that's one of the major stigmas that that persists, unfortunately. I would applaud that veteran for being open about the fact that they identify with this diagnosis and are actively seeking help for it and going to those VA appointments. I would advise the employer to ask that veteran, what it means that they have PTSD, how might that play out in the workplace? What kinds of supports might they need? Why was that important for them to let their employer know and to applaud them for being transparent about that?
Okay. Now, what if with different things, the apps and those types of things, and because how long have you been with the National Center now?
Since 2012, so about 6 years.
6 years. So what, are there any huge successes that you've seen in that 6 years, things that you guys are really proud about, whether it's something that's been created something that's been implemented, a story of a veteran specifically that you know of? Is there something that you guys are really proud of having done or accomplished there?
Oh, that's a big question.
Yeah.
speaking to my division specifically, okay. I think we've made huge strides in the tech space in terms of developing. I think we have about 16 mobile apps now. We're on the leading edge. We have a number of investigators who are researching web-based interventions. We are at the forefront of implementation science. Mm-hmm. So what I was talking about before with really studying not only treatments that work, but how to get those treatments into place.
Faster, right.
Yeah,
right.
And so we, one of the initiatives I led a few years back was to help providers implement measurement-based care in 18 clinics nationwide.
Right.
So it wasn't a huge effort, but now that's gone nationwide. And I'm serving as a subject matter expert on the national rollout of measurement-based care. So through our work, we're really able to inform larger scale initiatives.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Now, there's who knows who's listening to this podcast? There's all kinds of people who could be listening to this. So what would you say to kind of just the average person? So we work for VA, so we see it a certain way. I'm a veteran, I see it a certain way. But for the average man or woman or teenager or college kid who's just kind of out there and they're listening just to learn more, are there things that kind of the average person can do to get involved in this kind of stuff, to help out? I mean, is there anything they can do?
Oh, tons. I'm just trying to think. I think, you know, one of our sort of efforts is to spread information about PTSD awareness resources.
Right.
And so the more you can do to educate yourself about PTSD, about how to support others, about how to encourage veterans to get help, I think the better. I think just by downloading our apps, there's a lot of information in there about PTSD symptoms and how to cope. And you can just learn a lot just by going through those tools, visiting our website, again, ptsd.va.gov. We have a ton of informative videos. We have a bunch of whiteboard videos created by our executive division in Vermont, and they're just really brief, straight to the point sort of tutorials of this is PTSD, this is what this treatment looks like, this is what medication for PTSD looks like. And so basically getting your basic questions about PTSD answered in a brief and straight to the point and kind of fun fashion.
And is this something, as you were talking, I was thinking of something else. Is this something that, like you mentioned earlier, school shootings, or we've had some office shootings, workplace shootings. Mm-hmm. Is this something that employers, counselors, like even those type of people can go on and just educate themselves about PTSD, how to help their students, how to help their employees, that kind of stuff as
Absolutely,
well?
Absolutely, they can.
Okay, that's a good idea. I think that's all we have. What is there anything that you would like kind of the world to know about the work you're doing or what's new or what's coming up in PTSD research?
Yeah, just as you mentioned, sort of community, the community out there and
right.
community and providers, we also have a community provider toolkit,
okay.
which has, again, just a ton of resources for clinicians, folks that might be encountering veterans or others with PTSD in the community outside of VA.
Okay.
And I think sort of my take-home message would be, you know, I've spoken quite a bit about mobile apps and other resources, just to emphasize that these tools are not a treatment replacer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing replaces coming in and engaging with treatment with a provider.
Right.
For a variety of reasons, you know, a veteran or person in the community might not be ready for treatment. They may feel that it's something they either don't want or aren't available to commit to at this
right.
point in their life. So I look at these tools as sort of a bridge to treatment, something that they can start putting their toe in the water with learning about their experience a little bit more from this perspective. They're not alone in this, that there's effective treatments available and some coping tools that they can start to practice on their own. And then we have apps that can be used in conjunction with those gold standard treatments that I mentioned. So
right.
PE Coach, for example, and CPT Coach, so that the veteran has the option of, instead of using old paper worksheets
and
writing everything down. They have reminders and recordings and things right there in their phone that they have 24/7 access to. You know, you have maybe 1 hour a week with your therapist if you're lucky, but you have most of us have our phones on us
24/7. Yes, all the time.
So, so yeah, just plug those
now, is there, I know I said we were done, but is there, how successful are these apps? Like, have you all seen, how much have you seen them implemented? How do we know they work?
That is the golden question, and I wish I had the golden answer. So, PTSD Coach, sort of our award-winning app, it's been downloaded, all over the globe.
Okay.
In terms of effectiveness, that's challenging because, again, we have the utmost respect for privacy, and so we're not pulling identifiable data from the apps. We can see how many times it's been downloaded and certain things, but we can't really link it to, is this person a veteran, or does this person actually have a diagnosis of PTSD, or is this another researcher somewhere, you know, playing with the app and doing something with it. So we have been able to do some research with sort of research study versions of the apps. There was an initial study recently done by one of our colleagues in the National Center, Eric Kuhn, with some collaborators, and they actually collected some initial data suggesting that PTSD Coach was effective in reducing PTSD symptoms in a primary care setting. So it's some early data, but it's a little bit promising.
Right.
So.
And I guess I would imagine that success is probably a relative term when you're talking about individuals' ability to cope with certain things. I mean, what's success for you? It may be different than what's success for me, but there are at least a million people who are coming into contact with the app, which I would say is a huge success.
Yeah, and again, we're not selling the apps as treatment.
Absolutely.
For most veterans, they're a matter of convenience, a matter of having a tool at their side. We're not saying that these apps are going to get rid of PTSD, but in conjunction with treatment or as a again a first step towards treatment.
Right.
I think these things can be very helpful for folks, and we've heard anecdotally from veterans that that they enjoy them and they find them helpful. We've heard from providers a number of wonderful anecdotes about, you know, what they're hearing from their veterans that are using these outside of treatment. So it's always good to get those success stories.
Fantastic. Well, I sincerely appreciate you being here. It's kind of interesting interviewing someone named Doctor with my same last name. So that's kind of fun saying Dr. McGee out loud. But thanks for being here. To everyone listening, again, that website is ptsd.va.gov, correct?
That is correct.
That's where you can find the apps. Also, you can go to the iTunes App Store or to the Google Play App Store if you want to download them on those on your phone. So thanks again for listening. Come back next week. We're actually going to have another episode talking about more research as it pertains to the creation of some of these apps and PTSD treatment moving forward. So thank you all for listening. As always, subscribe to the podcast. If you like what you hear, rate us 5 stars and tell a friend to listen as well. Thank you.